time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I think I did a really good job of picking our intro song. A couple of Houston natives. Not bragging or anything, just saying.
I like it. I mean, listen, when you start off a show, you got to pander to your audience. Before they know whether or not you suck, you have to determine that they know that you will do whatever it takes to brown nose.
And I genuinely like...
You picked it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I genuinely like that kind of music.
I love ZZ Top as well.
Hey. How's everybody doing? It's Thursday.
It is Thursday.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Hope that you're streaming us on Twitch. Hope that you're following us on social media and, of course, all of the different things. We know what the story has been the last couple of, the last year.
Yeah.
Over 12 months. And it is at a point, Paul, to where people are like, oh, you guys, the media talks about Deshaun Watson
media.
To watch. But say that again?
The liberal media.
That we talk about Deshaun Watson a lot, but it is super relevant, especially this week, as next week depositions begin for these civil lawsuits.
Yeah, you got to peel this bleeping Band-Aid off and just get it over with. But you've kept the Band-Aid on for a really long time, like you're Nelly, and it's the early 2000s, and no one really understands why you have a Band-Aid on your face. But what we do know, and Mike Floyer did a little write-up about it on Pro Football Talk, is that at that deposition, what we're going to see, grand jury will take a look at possible felony charges, possible misdemeanor charges. I don't think a felony charge is on the table because I think we would have heard something by now. Misdemeanors, no idea. But first, they have to figure that out. And the second thing that they will have to determine are the pending lawsuits, all the civil suits. And I guess listening to Mike Floyer, that 18 were pretty close to being resolved of the 22 before the Miami Dolphins trade fell through, but not all of them were. So what's the deal, I guess, with those four civil suits? Are they still going to be pushing for it? And look, he's going to get grilled. Part of me wants to be a fly on the wall to see Deshaun Watson sitting in front of a microphone in court and having a lawyer grill him, because I want to see how he handles it. I want to see if he just says, I plead the fifth.
And
you know?
I think that's what we could see. And that's not a report, but I think that that's something that could be really likely.
And that's interesting, Vanessa, because he was so adamant denying everything at first. I mean, obviously things can change over the course of a year, but if that were to be the case, then okay, I think we would all, in the court of public opinion, not in the court of law, have a pretty strong hunch about what may have gone down, which is everything that was alleged.
If you would have told me that this still would be unresolved, I mean, because here's the thing, this date didn't creep up on anybody.
No.
This has been the date that has been in order for months now. I mean, we knew last fall that he was scheduled to be deposed in February. So if I'm Rusty Hardin, if I'm Deshaun's camp, etc., I'm looking at that and I'm saying, okay, so we have to get things settled.
Yep.
Resolved 100%. Deshaun, even if you think you didn't do anything wrong, you have to get this together, because you will not play. The start of the new league year, of course, starts in March. The quarterback carousel, which we'll get to in a moment, starts moving. Not that Deshaun Watson wouldn't have his way certain places, but if you would have told me this would have been still unresolved, I wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah, same. I mean, shoot, I was seeing this from afar, and I was like, thank God I don't have to talk about that, because it is gross at best with some of the allegations that are put out there. But I think we will have a pretty clear idea of where he is. I mean, Matt Stafford was moved before essentially the end of last year from the Lions to the Rams. We saw a drunk Matt Stafford. We'll talk about him a little bit later in the show yesterday.
Can you help a girl
at
out?
At the parade. Yeah, literally. Please help a girl out. If someone falls, you don't walk away generally. But I don't know. Maybe he was a little sauce.
Kelly's the nice one in that relationship.
I don't think he was quite Tom Brady sauce, but he definitely had a beverage or two. Who wouldn't? It's your parade. But the other thing about Watson that we know, so we talked about another team that was added to a list of potential landing spots for Deshaun Watson. Does feel like that list was put out with a little bit more time to marinate. It does feel like that list was not put out by other teams. It was put out by his agent, which might be because he knows that this deposition is coming and he wants to distract some folks.
I will, and I said this yesterday. I think it's very relevant. This is a post-Super Bowl week report. And Jeremy Fowler is not Albert Breer. Like, Albert Breer is
known. Bear?
Albert Breer is known for, you know, loves Bill O'Brien, loves the Patriots.
So
that,
like, it's a bad thing.
Jeremy, yeah.
What's wrong with loving Bill O'Brien? He's a man. He's
yeah.
a human.
Well, he loves you. Jeremy Fowler is, you know, has been unbiased for most of his career. At least that's his track record. So, but yeah, I mean, look, it's Super Bowl week. People are going to parties. Agents are going to parties. There's GMs walking around. There's owners walking around. So I'm not surprised that there's a report, but also look at the timing.
Yep.
It's not only post Super Bowl week, but it is as the depositions are getting ready to begin. I will say this. If you're a Texans fan, you should want more teams interested in Deshaun Watson. So if you hear the Bucs are interested, the Vikings are interested, you want negotiating power. Don't forget Deshaun Watson has that
he
has a no-trade clause. So since Deshaun Watson has a no-trade clause, it doesn't matter if Nick Caserio and the Bucs make a deal. If Deshaun Watson doesn't want to go, he doesn't have to go.
Right, exactly.
So if you're a Texans fan, you should want more teams on this list that Deshaun Watson is willing to go to, because that's more draft capital, that's more negotiating power for not only David Mulugeta and Athletes First, but Nick Caserio.
The problem, of course, is that he doesn't want to go to play for some mark-ass marks. He does not, I'm assuming, want to play for the New York Jets. He doesn't want to play for bums. The Vikings, competent. Broncos, competent. Great teams? No. But with a quarterback like Watson on board either of them, definitely a different story. We have heard from Nick Caserio, at the very least, you know, as we get closer and closer to this. And, you know, he had the introductory press conference with Lovie Smith. But, Vanessa, there was some other stuff that he was talking about the other day on, what show was it?
It was Jim Rome.
Jim Rome. And, the jungle.
I knew that you'd have an impression for that. Yeah, look, I mean, Jim Rome had Nick Caserio on. Caserio has been a fan of Jim Rome for a while. So although we would
hilarious.
Love to have Nick Caserio on our local station.
Arugula, Count Chocolate. Yeah, I know. I would too. Yeah, that would be nice. Hey, look, this is something you set up. You know everybody.
I do know everybody. But he was on Jim Rome, and he talked a little bit. There were a couple of pieces of audio about him talking about Deshaun Watson. We're going to play them for you. And the first one is where he talks about how close they were to a deal and getting Deshaun Watson traded.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that necessarily particularly that a deal was close or imminent. I think one of the things that's pretty fluid and teams, whether it's, you know, this time of year, even during the season, you have a lot of different conversations with different teams about a lot of different topics. And, you know, as you work through in season, I'd say up till kind of, you know, November, whenever the trade deadline is, you know, there's certain players that may or may not be available, or teams will call and ask about so-and-so, would you consider moving him? So I think once you get past the trade deadline, I think it's pretty quiet, and I think teams are really focused on kind of finishing their season. So I think what happens is after the Super Bowl, you know, now there's a finality to the 2021 season, everybody kind of turns the page and starts to look at the team-building process for the 2022 season. So that's kind of where we are. So I think that we'll have discussions with different teams at different points about a lot of different things. You know, especially when you get a little closer to the combine, and obviously once it started the new league year with free agency. So I think conversations will be ongoing. I wouldn't put a particular finite timetable on it in the end.
Hmm.
So what was interesting to me was that he said, look, and Nick Caserio has a great knack for saying a lot and saying nothing at the same time.
That he does.
I will say that it was interesting to me that he said, I wouldn't say anything was particularly close. That was the only thing that stood out as like, oh, that's revealing. But you also heard him say, wait for the combine, because we've talked about that. That's where the conversations are going to happen with other teams.
That would be, man, it is frustrating how long he takes to say nothing.
To say nothing.
Right.
Absolutely nothing.
And honestly, and when I hear that, he hasn't been really close on anything, I feel like that means that the Texans still think that they're going to get a massive haul for Watson. And I think that there's going to come a point where they have to realize, yeah, we're probably going to get somewhat screwed. Maybe not quite so far as the Rockets did when they traded James Harden to the team that he wanted to play for until he didn't want to play for them anymore. I think that they're not going to get the kind of haul. And, you know, you hear him talk. We know he can talk. He needs to be a salesman here.
Right.
You know, I don't want PR Nick Caserio. I don't want the guy who's, you know, completely dodging the questions like he's, I don't know, like a White House press secretary. I want to have a guy who is making phone calls and is telling all of these teams, look, he doesn't want to be here, but look at yourself in the mirror. You ugly. You don't have a chance. Like, if and I would be calling the Jets over and over again. I'm like, do you really think that little boy, and not sorry to call Zach Wilson that, but I mean, I just don't expect someone coming.
I have not bought in on him either.
Someone from Utah going to New York City. Like, I know I would not have been able to handle New York City as a kid. I would not, especially if I'm a quarterback of an NFL team. No way. I don't think it's going to work out for him there. So I'd be telling the Jets, like, you guys are screwed unless you get a good quarterback. Did you see Josh Allen? You just dealt with Tom Brady for 20 years. So that's just one team. He has to, I think, go on the offensive. He's got to pick up the phone. He's got to make phone calls. And he's got to tell people, like, hey, this is why your situation sucks, but I got a solution for you. And at least one of them you would think that maybe Watson would agree to being a part of. Jets probably not so much, unless he likes the idea of playing in New York because they're a bad organization. But I don't like this idea of him waiting. You have to be on the attack here. You've been basically right. Just waiting for, what, 2 years? The value is not going up right now. It's definitely going down.
With the Vikings, too, I mean, it does feel like they're – now, there are a lot of teams that you could say this about. But if they get a good quarterback – I mean, they've been consistent. The rest of their roster has been fairly consistent. If they get a good quarterback, you could be talking about a serious team here. So that's one that's intriguing to me, not only because they have the goods to get Deshaun Watson, but I think it could be – now, I don't know if I want Kirk Cousins. But I think it could be beneficial.
I know you don't want Kirk Cousins.
I do not want Kirk Cousins. But I think
it's funny.
That it
he's
could
good
be,
quarter. He's a good yeah. quarterback, but like
right. But I would rather ride it out with Davis Mills.
Interesting. So I want to see more with Davis Mills. I think we got to get to a point where we're not saying like I'm optimistic about Davis Mills. Does that make sense?
Well, he was a rookie though.
I know he was a rookie.
He was a rookie, and he was in a really tough situation. He was like, "Am I going to start this week, or is Tyrod Taylor going to start this?"
Poor
week?
Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him. He has had the worst luck. He is a legend in Virginia where he played high school football.
Yeah. People love him.
Yeah. It's crazy.
He played at Virginia too, right? Virginia Tech?
I think it was Tech. I could be wrong on that one. But whatever the case, yeah, like he got stabbed in the chest with a needle before a game. Like, just think about how bad your luck is, and then Justin Herbert takes over. You're like, "Ah, well, screw me."
Yeah. No, I mean, definitely by a doctor, by the way.
Yeah.
Not just
yeah.
stabbed by a needle.
Not a great doctor, clearly.
By a doctor. All right. Plenty to talk about regarding Watson Watch, but there was a game on Sunday. There was a Super Bowl parade yesterday. We'll talk about why Matt Stafford is kind of a savage and the best moments from that parade. That's next on Vanessa and Gallant.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on this Thursday. There was a parade yesterday in Los Angeles. About an hour before it began, if you see reporters' videos on Twitter, it was a really sad crowd. A couple of hundred, yes, I said hundred, people. Eventually it turned to a couple of thousand.
They are the worst sports town.
It's why I didn't want the Rams to win. I like Aaron Donald for sure. I covered Andrew Whitworth actually in Cincinnati. Really wanted Andrew to win a ring. That's great. But it is the city. I would actually say almost any other NFL city would have had more passionate fans.
They deserve nothing. I mean, their most passionate fans are the ones who beat people up in the parking lot.
That's a good point.
I mean, you know, and we're talking Dodgers fans here. Lakers fans, you know what? Again, if LeBron James had made this all about him, it probably would have been a better parade. So maybe in retrospect, they should have actually said, you know what? I mean, this is stupid, but yeah, LeBron, you can have your championship parade seeing as your team is terrible.
But that would be all Lakers fans.
It would, but guess what? I mean, shoot, that's embarrassing. If it's only thousands of people, you're the Los Angeles Rams. I saw a couple of pictures and the lack of people that were there. It was
sad.
I mean, it was like they were, I don't know, like a minor league hockey team.
And you're talking about, by the way, Los Angeles is the second largest media market in the country. First is, of course, New York. Third is Chicago. LA is the second largest media market. And that was the... Could you imagine if that parade was in Cincinnati?
No, the city...
Or, honestly, anywhere else.
Anywhere in the Northeast. Anywhere in the Midwest. Pretty much anywhere except for Los Angeles. That would have been an absolute rager. Would have been here. Would have been in Dallas. It would have been definitely in New Orleans, Party City, USA. But Vegas, it might even have been a party because people are like, you know what?
It's Vegas, right.
I'm just going to go to Vegas and crash this parade, even though I don't even root for the Las Vegas Raiders. Maybe I'll get drunk with a couple of, you know, those motorcycle gangsters and
yeah,
it'll be a good time.
There would have been a couple of Russian escorts if it were in Vegas, but it would have been, I mean, it would have been fun. I think that was why, but you know, all things aside.
I hate that city. They don't deserve anything.
I agree.
And the Dodgers championship has an asterisk. You suck, LA. I can't stand you. And all right, we're done. Oh, we're done with just talking about the LA.
Yeah, coming up next, Killer Bees.
it's over.
I will say, so yesterday was interesting. There were a couple of fun moments. Watching OBJ get trashed was awesome. Matt Stafford, seeing frat Matt Stafford was great.
I got to say, Vanessa.
That was fun.
Frat Stafford. I had never seen Frat Stafford.
No, and I didn't think we would see him.
I'm going to appease Brendan Riley, Detroit Lions fan that wears, you know, the pea-colored Rams jersey to work. I'm going to appease him right now. Because of how fun Frat Stafford seemed, which I've never seen in action before, he can get in the Hall of Fame. I'm cool with it now.
Oh.
He seems like someone who would be a lot of fun to hang out with. And yeah, sure, he hasn't really done that much over the course of his career until this past season. I don't care now. Like, I like him. I like him as a person. I want to have a beverage with him. Here is Matt Stafford. He gets the microphone, and I mean, this guy, what an absolute charmer he is up there.
Matt Stafford, and if you haven't seen this video, get on Twitter and look it up. Watched a woman fall off the stage. She ended up being an NFL photographer.
Not his fault.
And he looks at her and goes, and turns around. His wife, Kelly, goes, oh, no, and, like, grabs the poor girl who she tweeted out, ended up, like, injured her spine. So it was actually a really bad fall.
Well, you're not supposed to touch somebody if they may have injured their spine while on the ground, right? You're not supposed to pick somebody up who falls down. So, I mean, I think Matt Stafford, he walked away. We don't know that he wasn't looking for, like, an EMT or something like that.
God.
We don't know that. He clearly doesn't have any practice. I don't know. I'm going to make excuses for Frat Stafford. That was his day.
In the video of him, he does the cringe thing, like, ooh,
yeah.
I shouldn't be around this. So then he walks away.
Yeah. Right. But his wife is like,
well, she took care of it. It's fine.
Oh my
God.
Listen,
he was wrecked.
Women are more empathetic than men. We have a gene that you guys just don't have. Because that is insane to me. I could not watch somebody fall. I don't care how trashed I am.
So he's out of your Hall of Fame now.
Well, he's never been in. God.
He's in my Hall of Fame.
Win a second one because you're a jerk. All right, so we did hear Aaron Donald and Sean McVay say that they wanted to quote-unquote run it back. And here's the thing. We hear this every Super Bowl parade. It's not like we haven't heard this before. It's intriguing with Sean McVay and Aaron Donald because there were reports that Aaron Donald for sure was thinking of retiring, and that was reported by NBC. And then the Sean McVay thing was obnoxious to me because he never said that. He simply answered a reporter's question about, will you coach till you're 60? And he said, I want to have kids, so probably not. And then it turned into, will Sean McVay retire? Which was it was never going to happen. So Sean McVay not retiring. His fiance ended up posting something on Instagram where she said, he'll be back. Aaron Donald is actually the one that I could see retiring. And he made it sound like he is not.
Right. And well, you know what? Now, Vanessa, I'm thinking about the way that the Tom Brady retirement thing was handled. Can we, in the liberal media, keep it in our pants when it comes to retirement? Like, why do you feel the need to break the story of a retirement? Why can't that person make that happen?
That ain't how it works, baby.
I get that's not how it works, but it should work. It should work like that.
Nope.
Why not? Why not? Like, if you hear through the grapevine that somebody might retire, like, why do you feel the need to be like, yeah, I had it first before he got to make his announcement on his own terms?
I think it just depends on how you look at things. Adam Schefter and Ian Rapoport and Tom Pelissero and the guys where that is their job.
I get it's their job, and they can talk about how it's their job all they want, Vanessa.
Woj, all of them. That is their job.
I get it's
their
job.
They get the info.
Fine, but you know what?
They say the info.
No one wants to hear the info from them. For this specific type of story, no one wants to hear it from them.
You know, what was funny is that Tom Brady, more like Tom Petty, acted like he wasn't going to retire
because
he was so mad.
He was on vacation.
I would have respected Tom Brady more if he would have said, you know what? Because you leaked this, I'm playing another year.
Well, maybe he is, honestly. And that's,
he could be.
I know that's why you feel like he's going to be pulling a Brett Favre
right all
summer. I would gladly volunteer to live in a house on his front lawn. I would love it. Like, I'll be the new Antonio Brown, Tom. You could be my papa. It'd be fantastic. You know, can hang out, have a catch. I've always wanted to have a catch with you, Tom.
I've always wanted to have a catch with you.
There's probably an ulterior motive here, too, for both of them. And, I mean, you know, Sean McVay's going to get an extension. Aaron Donald's going to get an extension, too. So, you know, you think about that. And then you also see here where Jim Harbaugh just got a new deal from Michigan. Remember Jim Harbaugh? You hear all those Vikings rumors?
He played that beautifully because he was never going.
I'm curious about the newsmakers, and I've never been one. You have been one. And you hear some of these stories, and you're like, oh, okay, I mean, this is some juicy tea to put out there, and people are going to talk about it. People like us are going to be like, whoa, what's going on? But it does feel like now more than ever, those people that are in the sports world are really using these folks as pawns, as puppets.
Absolutely. And I completely agree.
Have you ever felt like someone was trying to do that
to
you?
I've known somebody was trying to do that to me. I've had people that'll text me and say, hey, like, I feel like this is going to happen if you want to report it. Now, there are things that you
don't
learn
have to get names.
In Big J Journalism School, which is one of the main things you learn in Big J Journalism School, is that you're supposed to have two sources for a report. So when somebody says, hey, FYI, this is going to happen, and you can't get it confirmed from someone else.
Yeah. Don't report
You're really not supposed to report it. Now, you can if you say source and leave it singular, but that can be risky.
The only time I've ever broken a story, and I never want to break a story again, was because I heard, like, through the grapevine, essentially the source was this guy's dad, that, like, one of my friends has a friend who works with this guy's dad, and the guy was being benched. And I heard this, and I reported it. And then afterwards, I said, okay, but I want to be 100% sure, so still working on a second source. Yeah. So then everyone came after me and, like, called me, like, an idiot, like, and a terrible journalist and stuff. And I was like, but I'm trying to get the story
that
right.
That is actually the rule that you're supposed to abide by. I'm proud of you for that. Was this NFL?
Yeah. I broke the story that Jake Locker was getting benched for Zach Nunberger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then everyone in Tennessee refused to say that I had the story first. And on top of that, a bunch of idiot Titan fans came after me. And this is where I started my dislike of Tennessee Titans fans. It all started here. They're like, you're an idiot. I hope you die. And I was like, why do you care? It's like, both these quarterbacks stink.
It also was apparently accurate.
Yeah, it was. It was. But yeah, no one gave me credit. But whatever. I'm not bitter about it. I've moved on. I just hate all Titans fans.
I understand that. And speaking of Titans, Oilers, and all of that, we are going to have Hall of Famer Warren Moon on at 11:30.
Oh,
very excited for that. But yeah, an interesting quarterback or a Super Bowl parade. Everything that was said. I love Les Snead's shirt that said F them picks. That was absolutely hilarious. And yeah, cool to see that personality from guys like, you know, look, that seem kind of vanilla, like Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp.
Yeah. I've always thought that Matt Stafford is one of the more vanilla figures out there. And I think part of it
so
has to
vanilla.
Do. Yeah. Cause he's on the Lions. You never even see him on Sunday Night Football cause they stink. I really didn't know much about him. I rarely heard him talk. And when I see him at the podium, he's like, and you're right. Same thing with Cooper Kupp. Now Cooper Kupp was still a little bit of an android, I think, out there, but I like Cooper Kupp. East side of Washington. What's up? But Stafford, I like Stafford now. All it took was that. I was like, yes, this guy is very fun. And I could see that a team, you see your quarterback like that, where he's just one of the guys, one of the boys. It's one of the reasons I think that Tom Brady has always had a very high Q rating in every single locker room that he is in. I don't think it is easy to be a starting quarterback in this league that's good and to relate to all of your teammates. I think it's really hard and fast.
And you see it with Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about Joe Burrow is that people are like, oh, he can code switch or he can talk. I'm like, that's just called being personable and everybody liking you. Joe Burrow doesn't try to act like he's something he's not. And I think his teammates genuinely appreciate that from him for sure. All right, coming up, one thing that is not appreciated is snapping cell phone pics of cheerleaders in a locker room. Jerry Jones dealing with some fallout. Plus, Mike McCarthy's comments on those Sean Payton rumors. That's coming up.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I feel bad for anybody who's watching our Twitch stream because the dance moves that I just saw, speaking of vanilla, that I just saw Paul Gallant break out.
We're bringing it back. You're 32. The dab, it never goes away.
Problematic, to say the least. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5. I'm at Sports Vanessa on social media. He is at Gallant Says. On social media, of course, you can hear us on the ESPN app, and you can watch us on Twitch. All right, in today's version of Wow, That's Really Messed Up, ESPN's Donovan Adda Jr. reporting the situation with the Dallas Cowboys that is just disgusting and horrific beyond belief. Paid a confidential settlement of $2.4 million after four members of the cheerleading squad, of course the DCC, accused a senior team executive of voyeurism in their locker room. Long story short, he came in and filmed them undressing. They each received under $400,000. It's Richard, I think it's Dalrymple. Is how you,
I have no idea.
It's something like that. Yeah. Anyway, longtime senior vice president for public relations and communications.
Irony.
This
is a guy. Sure is.
This is a guy that is very close to Jerry Jones. That's what all the Dallas media says. He's kind of like very close to the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones in general. He was also accused of taking upskirt photos of Charlotte Jones Anderson, which is Jerry Jones's daughter. That is bold, stupid, all of the things. So, first of all, things like this are still happening, and it's disgusting. I think we've gotten a lot better with how we treat women in NFL and sports circles. But this is disgusting. Also, not good that it took this long to come out.
No, I think that's probably because whatever they paid them involved NDAs and stuff. I'm happy that those lady got paid, because if you're a cheerleader in the NFL, you get jack. Like, they don't pay you at
People
all.
People don't understand that.
They work you crazy hours. You have to drive all over the place. Like, I legitimately feel for people in that industry. Obviously, it opens some doors for you maybe after your career and stuff, but like, it's one of those things where it's largely like a thankless job. And then on top of that, you have some weirdo who is claiming, I just accidentally went into the locker room. Regardless of whether or not he actually took pictures, he went into the locker room while they were changing, okay? Right. So let's just start off there. And second, okay, he's recording people as he goes in, as they get changed. He is taking a picture of somebody upskirt. Like, what is he? Is he a 12-year-old with pre-2000s internet?
Disgusting.
Like, but to me, I was watching a stand-up comic last night, and this guy was talking about, like, some of the ways that young men maybe, you know, have fun, if you will. And this, to me, like, this is an adult. This is an adult male. It's one thing if you're, like, a kid, and you're like, oh. This guy is an adult male, and he's doing all of these things. And I'm just like, how do you have that little self-control? You're actually an animal. And I'm speaking as somebody who gets revved up very often by very many things.
Whoa. TMI, guys. Paul Glunt coming in hot.
I mean, I am who I am.
That's fine.
Okay? I'm very honest. Woo. Perhaps too honest. I mean, obviously, we talked about the blind date yesterday. Apparently, people may have been listening, so that's pretty funny. But back to this.
We're going to go back to that.
Yeah, I guess we're going to have to. I just can't believe that guys do this.
Yeah, it's
the internet is available. If you really need to take yourself to Happy Town, I mean, you have options.
Yeah,
jeez.
It's never about that, though. In this case, it's always about power. It's about the fact that he's a senior executive, that these women are cheerleaders. This is, again, according to Don Vanatta Jr. of ESPN, a signed copy of the May 2016 settlement obtained by ESPN includes a nondisclosure in which the four women, three of their spouses, and Cowboys officials agreed to never speak publicly about the allegations. So,
did you see the statement he made?
Yeah,
too?
I mean, he basically was like,
how dare you challenge my honor?
Yeah.
What are you going to do, like throw a glove down at all of these accusers and duel them? Like,
here's my biggest issue with this whole thing, other than the fact that it happened, is that he retired a couple of months ago. So he was kept around past this.
Maybe they knew it was coming out and they forced him out.
And that's
retirement.
100%. Because when ESPN starts digging and getting documents, that gets around. That doesn't stay private.
Classic Cowboys.
And so, to me, look, Jerry Jones has in the past said that he, you know, maybe hasn't called himself a progressive, but he'll comment on COVID and people getting vaccines. He'll comment on Black Lives Matter and all of that. Not that it's all one thing, but you need to be consistent and you need to stand up for women. And if you know one of your senior executives has been accused by multiple women, not one, not that one means it's not legit, but you have four here, and then you have the other cheerleaders saying it's a well-known thing. That's ridiculous.
But they don't care. I mean, right. look at what's going on with the Washington Commanders. I mean, there's Snyder was essentially watching voyeur porn of these cheerleaders again while they're getting changed. Like, this is a weird like NFL executive thing. And it's like, dude, like, you're just embarrassing. You're embarrassing men.
Yeah.
I mean, like, wow, you're a billionaire and this is what you need to resort to, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And get your rocks off somewhere else. I would think that you would have the means to.
You also have, again, though, you have the power structure where these women really don't have much that they can say they can do. And you bring up a great point about the cheerleaders. Almost every single cheerleader for every NFL team is either a nurse, a teacher, in law school. They all have, I mean, this is not actually a glamorous job
no,
at all.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, like, it's, you know, it's cool and like you get some like stash and you're probably going to get a bunch of followers, but you have to have like a separate account that you can't even
completely.
Like, right. Like that to me is the biggest joke of all. Like, hey, I am this really, really attractive person and I can't use this to help me out after I'm done being a cheerleader for you. I have to have my own separate like cheerleader account. And then like once I'm like replaced, that's it. I'm never heard from again.
Very messy. Jerry Jones, very messy. And certainly hope more comes out about this, and credit to ESPN for reporting this. All right. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant, 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Hope you're watching on Twitch. Another thing Cowboys related, we had Mike McCarthy. We heard his interview with Rich Eisen, and Rich is not quite Dan Patrick, but really good about getting people to open up, talk about things. And one of the things we've constantly heard about the Cowboys is eventually Sean Payton is going to take over. I don't think that's happening, obviously, soon. Sean Payton just stepped down from the New Orleans Saints. But Mike McCarthy was on Rich Eisen, and we have that sound of him talking about those Sean Payton rumors.
No, we talked about it. We talked about Dan's situation.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. We talked about Sean Payton's narrative also. It's been discussed.
You have discussed that with him. Huh? What is anything you can share that you have discussed?
The gist of the conversation was, you and I are in this, back to back, and it's a partnership, and just focus on what we need to do moving forward. He made some, personal comments about how he feels about it, but that's really for him and I. But I'm very, very comfortable with our relationship and our dialogue.
Mike McCarthy is very personable, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for in this interview, kind of like just joking around with all these rumors that are surrounding him. That's a lot for anyone, I think, to deal with. And I'm not sympathizing with Mike McCarthy. I think that it was a very underwhelming hire that the Cowboys made. I mean, McCarthy, there's a very strong argument to be made that he was holding Aaron Rodgers back with some of the baffling game management decisions that he made. I would point to the NFC Championship game between the Seahawks and Packers, where they had fourth and one inside the 10-yard line twice, and they decided to kick field goals.
Yeah, and the whole McCarthy school of we're going to go on a farm, and it's weird.
Right, there's also that. I mean, he is very much...
But he's likable, to your point.
He's likable, I think, publicly. I do wonder in the locker room how you feel when all of a sudden guys are pulling up like sort of high school coaching tactics to try to motivate players. Like, what was the thing that was happening in Hard Knocks? Like, the mojo moment. Like, shut up. Like, calm down, dude. But, look, he's going to get replaced by Sean Payton. Who actually has faith that McCarthy, with a healthy Dak Prescott, like, they're all going to put it together? We saw it this past year. That Cowboys team, with the way that its defense was playing for a long stretch, and with the way that its offense opened up the year, that Cowboys team should have been, at the very least, in the NFC Championship game. I felt like they had, as far as complete teams in the NFC, the most. And what happened? They couldn't even get out of the first round. They lose to San Francisco right away. And in that game, it was one of those ones where, yeah, they hung around, but it never felt like they were there. And there were just boneheaded penalties and all sorts of stupid things. And you're like, this is so on brand with the Cowboys, whether it's upstairs where you got Peep and Toms, or it's downstairs where you got bozos on the field. McCarthy's not the guy that is going to clean house and get people to actually be disciplined. He is exactly the kind of person that you bring in. You're like, I like him, but I think I can get away with things underneath him.
When you're an NFL coach, there's always a target on your back. And again, we're not saying we feel sorry for these guys because they get paid an obscene amount of money. But there's always a target on your back. I mean, I think that's just a fact of it. And especially when you are with the Cowboys. The Cowboys, I am not in on them being America's team. I think that's obnoxious. They haven't been good in forever. I actually commend Tony Romo of CBS and Troy Aikman of Fox for making sure that they keep the audience real on what's going on. But the Cowboys are still a huge brand. And for Mike McCarthy's entire tenure, it was, well, this coordinator's coming for his job. This coordinator's coming for his job. Sean Payton's coming for his job. And at one point, Jerry Jones had talked about how a coordinator, one of his coordinators, would eventually make a good head coach in front of Mike McCarthy. So I do think that he had to deal with a lot of that in a way that, like, Mike Vrabel and Frank Reich and Mike Tomlin aren't having to deal with that. Just very odd, like, someone's always trying to take your seat.
Right. And I think the good thing for McCarthy, though, is that Quinn failed as a head coach. And yeah. Ask any Cowboys fan how they feel about Kellen Moore. Now, I always heard all these Kellen Moore rumors. And I'm like, the Cowboys really like him. They pay him a lot of money. Why is it? And I watched the Cowboys 49ers game with some of my self-loathing Cowboy fan friends. I like an authentic Cowboy fan is definitely like not like braying ever and is not talking about all those titles all those years ago. They're like, God, this sucks.
Yeah. They know. They understand. And I have learned that since moving to Texas.
Right. It's like the weirdos who live outside of Texas who actually like are, yeah, Tony Dorsett. It's like, what? You weren't alive for him. Why are you wearing his jersey?
Right.
But there is I think when it comes down to it with the Cowboys and stuff going forward, you know, this is a team that you know exactly how it's going to end every single year. I don't see why they just go with Mike McCarthy for another year. You can pay him out. You can buy him out. Like, why wait? You know, you're not going any further with Mike McCarthy. Everyone knows it. You deep down inside know it. So make the move now.
Right.
And to have this over your head, if you're Mike McCarthy, can you really coach to the best of your abilities? Oh, and the other thing I wanted to get to, sorry. I got side tangent. Kellen Moore. If you ever watch a Cowboys game, just watch Kellen Moore, any close-up shot of him. Every single time, his mouth is, like, down on the floor.
Why?
I don't know. But he's always like, if you're watching on Twitch, like, my mouth is just, like, I don't know why, but his mouth is always open. Like, and it's, like, just hanging there.
He's a mouth breather?
Maybe. I don't know.
911, we have a mouth breather.
But his mouth is often open, and it just looks like kind of bewildered or as if he is consistently saying, "What?"
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Galan, I'll have to watch his mouth next time. Thanks for pointing that out. Is there a solution, a simple solution, to MLB's problems with how they treat minor league players? And we touch on that Carlos Correa situation coming up.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. You're listening to Vanessa and Galant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Galant.
I was genuinely enjoying, this is one of my all-time favorite Bill Withers songs, and then my co-host, Paul Galant, decided to start singing it.
I have to know
and
if you help me!
It was ruined, so...
Sorry, I can't help myself. I like to sing along to things.
I love it. Happy Thursday. I'm Vanessa. That is Paul. I'm at Sports Vanessa. He's at Galant Says. You're listening to Vanessa and Galant on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, Twitch. All of the things.
Minimal singing.
Yeah, minimal singing. Look, there's been a lot of conversation about what we're going to talk about in the baseball world and in the sports world in general. And the conversations have heated up because of the lockout. And that is just how minor league players are treated. Kind of goes along with our conversation we just had about NFL cheerleaders. Like, they don't get paid at all and people think it's some great job and it's actually really problematic.
I remembered when... there was talk about whether or not Kyler Murray would go play baseball or go to the NFL. I remember thinking to myself, there is no way in hell that someone like Kyler Murray, who clearly does not like being sent off to the side, would want to deal with minor league baseball. And obviously, it's a little bit different when you are a top five pick.
Sure.
Like Murray was with the A's. But I thought a really interesting thread by former Astros top pick Mark Appel was really interesting and well thought out. And, you know, things don't work out for every single prospect. I don't know how things maybe could have gone differently for Appel, but obviously, you know, that's one of those guys that during your tanking process you thought was going to be one of your great starting pitchers going forward. But he had a great thread on Twitter. And essentially, you can read it for yourself. He's at Mark Appel 26. But the nuts and bolts of it, Vanessa, are that when it comes to housing, nutrition, and off-season training, these guys are totally basically trying to climb up the wall in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It is a really tough task because you're just essentially thrown out there, and now baseball wants to give them even less support. And, okay, I get it. You want to cut costs, but don't you want to make your product better? And isn't investing in that lower-level development system a way to perhaps find some diamonds in the rough, especially if you're one of those organizations that isn't going to be able to afford spending big bucks and keeping some of these marquee players around that ultimately go to the Yankees or the Dodgers?
Yeah, he mentions that there are a couple of teams trying to fix this. The Astros actually are one of the teams that have been paying minor league players for a while, and the facility that they have it's now Space Cowboys, but it was Sugarland Skeeters.
Bring back the Skeeters.
Absolutely immaculate. But yeah, he writes the three biggest decisions players worry about: housing, food, off-season training. And he talks about removing the barriers. I think it's a discussion worth having, and I think that one of the things that we're seeing with these labor talks, regardless of if you side with players or owners, is the fact that the owners had the audacity to suggest that they, what, was it cut minor league players?
Right. These owners are so tone deaf. And, you know, the interesting thing, if you compare football with baseball, is that you never hear from a baseball owner. They hide.
They do.
They never tackle things head on. And it's not like NFL owners tackle many things head on themselves, but at the very least, they sometimes make themselves public. You almost never hear from a baseball owner unless they are really trying to push something across everybody. You know, I remember when Jim Crane took over the Astros, I actually got to sit down. It was me and Barry Warner, and we sat down and we talked to him for like an hour. And I mean, he was pushing so many different things. Now, obviously, things have worked out for him since then, but I remember everything I was hearing. I was like, okay, I'm taking this with all the grains of salt in the world. Because he's only going to make himself available if he can paint his team in a positive light. When something like this happens, though, none of them are addressing it, and everyone, I think, is just thinking to themselves, no, I want to make sure that I can maximize my revenue. I'm going to let poor Rob Manfred continue to take all the punches. And I don't know. I think some of them should look in the mirror and say, like, this is not making any of the people that follow your sport who you want to keep interested long term. This is not helping you out. Like, I think the players are sometimes a little bit stubborn for the sake of being stubborn. But I can totally understand why they're being stubborn here and maybe why they want to screw with the owners as much as they possibly can. Because some of these guys are dealing with this for the first 4 or 5 years of their career. And then they finally get the chance to get paid at age 20, 27 or 28, which is usually right before you start to decline. In terms of your overall skill.
One of the things that he brings up is those that make it, there's so many that can't even get a couple of years in because they can't afford it or they don't have the resources.
Right, and I'm going to sound like a jerk here. There is, to me, a weird charm in the idea that somebody who is in an offseason, a part of a minor league team, has like an offseason job for some reason. And this is probably because I've watched too many Disney movies. I didn't watch the Kurt Warner movie, but, like, you know, Kurt Warner in the movie that they had the guy from Chuck, Zachary Levi.
Yeah, I watched it.
He's stacking grocery, you know, he's essentially bagging groceries and stacking grocery shelves and stuff. And all of a sudden he, you know, gets a tryout and everything works out for him. I like the idea of that happening, but owners want to keep pushing out that, like, fairy tale, that fantasy that happens so very rarely.
Yeah.
And act like, yeah, this is a great story about human triumph, about how, you know, even you could potentially be an MLB star someday. Well, the reality is, like, these, if you're a baseball player, you've probably been doing all of the summer little leagues and AAU and training and all things. It's essentially a job for you from when you're, like, 10 on. And then all of a sudden, you go from being, like, with your parents, financed for all the baseball in the world that you can't have, to having to do it all on your own.
And how many people actually, when you take into account travel ball, all of the equipment, all of the tournaments, how many parents actually make that back with scholarships?
Not many.
Now, if scholarships,
but they're willing to foot the bill. Why aren't these teams?
Now, if the scholarship isn't your goal and if you want your kid to have fun and enrich their childhood, great. But again, why does the onus fall on? Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I'm nervous that if I ever have a kid, I'm going to be the really awful dad who's like, yeah, I'm going to relive all my high school failures for through you.
That's absolutely going to be you.
I know.
By
I
the way,
I'm not gonna have a kid now. That's I'm just gonna do it right now.
By the way, how what's up with the shoddies? With the blind date? Not only your blind date, but the girl that re-entered the picture.
Oh, so what's funny is the person who set up the blind date was listening, and she's like, "Yeah, I listen." I was like, "Oh, well, good thing is I didn't say anything bad." But so I have still been talking with the person that I went on the blind date with. Okay. And I actually, I figured just for the sake of full honesty, because I like to be honest, I'm probably too honest from time to time.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I told the person who texted me, he's like, "Oh yeah, I talked about you yesterday."
On the air?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we did. I mean, we brought up the text that led to the FaceTime.
How did that go?
I haven't heard back from her yet, so we'll see.
Wait, so the girl, the one that got away, you talked about her?
Yeah, yeah.
What about blind date girl?
I have not told her that, no.
You should tell blind date girl.
Should I? Maybe I'll tell her that at the next time we hang out.
So there will be a next time.
In person. Probably. Not 100% sure. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, I'm in a weird spot.
You are in a weird spot.
Because I'm just weird and I like to, you know, if something's...
You want what you can't have.
Thank you.
Therapy with Paul Gallant.
I know. It's terrible.
Yeah. So this is an interesting conversation about everything regarding MLB. And I think frustrations... Look, pitchers and catchers were supposed to report, 2 days ago?
Yep.
So the conversations about how difficult owners are and how slowly this process has gone continues to be a huge topic of conversation, and I certainly understand why, especially when you look at low wages and the conversations that we're having really in a more broad perspective in this country about wages and people not being able to make livable wages.
Right, definitely. And also, I know that things are going to likely be slow. I mean, remember what happened during, you know, the pandemic when baseball finally yes. came back in 2020. That took way, way, way too long. At the very least, you have, instead of like going all the way back to 1994 where the lockout ended the season, you have a recent reference to where everyone was just crapping on you.
Right.
You know, and I think that will give them a little bit of impetus, a little bit of a motivation to actually get this thing going. But... it's annoying every single time you see it. It's like the baseball players are feeling like they need to fight for everything that they can, and baseball's owners just hide and say, like, money, 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 money.
And there's no conflict quite like it. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're talking all things Deshaun Watson as he is set to be deposed next week. We'll hear what one top analyst says the most important things are. That's coming up.
ESPN 97.5.